Good morning, everyone. Morning and happy Christmas. And yes, I think a little clap for that beautiful, beautiful video. Well done to St. Paul's in Auckland. I think the accent just makes it all the more cute. and I think they've got some other really great clips online if you want to go home and watch some more. I think they get their kids together and do some little Christmas videos. And so go look them up on YouTube if you like. But look, they said it really well, didn't they? And as Matt said earlier, it's perhaps the arrival of a long-expected king, but in a very unexpected way. That's what we really celebrate today on Christmas. And I'm sure Matt did this as well already, but a shout-out to our friends who are in Zoom this morning. We've got a number who can't join us through sickness, and we're very much with you in spirit and praying for swift recoveries and that you can still enjoy this time of year. The ancient Jewish people told stories, and they had an understanding, this idea that their God would send a Messiah, a saviour, a king, someone who would rescue their people who were oppressed, exiled, often in conflict. They had this idea of a true king who would bring peace. And I wonder what they pictured as they told this story over years, and what they thought the coming of the king would be like. And I wonder if it bore any resemblance to the coming of Jesus when he did arrive, as was so beautifully told in this little story. Maybe let's read how Luke tells it in his gospel. If you like to read along, we're in Luke 2, starting in verse 1 and reading from there. I can't do the New Zealand accent, but I'm sure you can picture the beautiful scenes. Luke 2 from verse 1. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Is that a familiar story to you? I think it's pretty familiar. but how also unexpected it was at the time, when no one knew how the king would come or what he would look like, and then here he arrives. What other dignitary or royalty do we know who would arrive anywhere in this fashion? Quietly, unexpectedly, amidst the straw and the poo. Something else that we're likely to miss as we read this story with our 21st century eyes is that Luke, in his gospel, deliberately uses language that echoes language that was used at the time in a really political way. And it was used to describe the Emperor Augustus of the Roman Empire, who set himself up as a godlike figure, a saviour, promising peace on earth. Much of the language in this nativity scene we've just read deliberately uses phrases that were used as propaganda by Augustus. And here's Luke ascribing them to this tiny baby. Here comes a baby in the night, proclaimed by angels to shepherds doing menial work out in the fields, born to a young woman in dubious circumstances, in a barn, not in a palace. Yet this is the true Prince of Peace. This is the Lord of Life. This is the King we've been waiting for. Come to bring peace on earth for all people. It's unexpected. As much as Jesus' radically loving and inclusive ministry throughout his life would be unexpected, just as his death at the hands of those powers, those political powers that be, just as that would be unexpected maybe for his followers, and just as his resurrection and triumph was unexpected. But I've fast-forwarded the story a bit, haven't I? Today, as we look at this beautiful nativity scene and the way that Luke shares it and the way that we imagine it and others have imagined it for centuries, I just wanted to share four beautiful themes that I think emerge from this passage, which are encouraging and comforting to us wherever we are at today. It might be a joyful day, it might be a tough day, there's messiness in our lives, but wherever we're at, these four themes of the season and in this passage, I think, are real gifts to us. And they are light, peace, joy, and hope. Light. We read in the passage, in the darkness on a hill, some shepherds, and then suddenly the glory of God shone around them. Think of how stark that would be if anyone's ever turned on a light before you were ready for it. Oof, it's a bit blinding. Light and dark are simple but really powerful metaphors, aren't they? We're so familiar with them. Think of the cozy feeling when you drive up in the rain somewhere in the dark to your home or a friend's house and you see the lights on inside. It pulls you in, it welcomes you. Or think of after the weeks of rainy weather and cold weather that we had the first day of really good sunshine, and the light. And you felt a bit more alive. There's something in it. And in the Christmas story, there is suddenly light in the darkness to announce the arrival of Jesus. In Scripture, Jesus is called the light of the world, a light to the nations, a light of revelation, the true light. And here he is, the light breaking through darkness into our lives. And so at Advent and at Christmas time, often, what do? We light candles. We string fairy lights around. Maybe because we know that this is a time for glorious, hopeful light. The second theme, peace. I love that in the scripture, Luke writes, "And the shepherds were terrified when the angels appear." And I love in Mary's children's story where she says, "Sometimes it is terrifying when a messenger of the Lord appears to you." But what do the angels say? They say, "Do not be afraid." They might also have said, "Peace be with you," as the angel said when he appeared to Mary to tell her unexpected news about a baby that she would carry and give birth to. Peace be with you. And peace, of course, is something that we crave just as much as light, isn't it? Many of us have been fortunate to live in a country where we haven't ever experienced war firsthand. But I think all of us can imagine it or have had our lives or our hearts touched by that experience. And even if we haven't, we know what it's like to be in conflict, don't we? With others, with ourselves. We know what it's like to not be at peace, but we crave it. And true peace, the absence of fear, the presence of calm and flourishing, that's such a promise, such a gift. And today we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, whose kingdom is one of true peace. And when we seek Jesus in our lives, when we have this inkling that he's there, that there's something more, when we leave a bit of space for him, then that peace flows to us, even now, even amidst everything in this world. There's little glimmers of peace. Light, peace, and joy. Joy. We sang earlier, it's the perfect hymn for today, isn't it? Joy to the world. And the angel says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. We know, I think you could say that line even if you'd never read a Bible. You'd probably hear it and go, I think the angel said something about joy for all the people. And joy is more, I think, than happiness. And it can exist even amidst difficulty. And I think sometimes we shy away from embracing joy, because to give ourselves over entirely to joy can be a bit scary, can't it? There's a little bit of vulnerability involved in just being like wholeheartedly joyful about something. And I think more often what we do is something that Brené Brown, who writes about shame and vulnerability, she calls it foreboding joy, where we have a sense of joy and then at the equal and opposite time we think, when's the other shoe going to drop? What's going to happen next? And it makes so much sense, doesn't it? Because life often disappoints us. And we all know the sting of having been really joyful or hopeful about something and have it taken away or being betrayed and the feeling of that loss. It's easier to couple joy with a sense of, it won't be like this forever. Something will go wrong now. It makes us feel foolish. Maybe, when we're totally joyful. And well, yes, I think it is a little bit foolish to have a faith filled with joy. I think that that is a beautiful, foolish thing that we do, to give ourselves over to joy, give ourselves over to hope, a faith that we can never entirely prove or perfectly defend. There's always an element of mystery and vulnerability, and that makes it really precious at the same time. And we are invited today and every day to join into this great mystery of the joy of the coming of Jesus, not just for people who know or understand that now, but for everyone, for everyone. That's a promise we can cling to, a promise that we are loved and treasured and included and part of something more. And we're invited to embrace that joy however we can in different seasons, regardless of what is happening. And today is such a good day to reflect on joy and to thank God for that chance to embrace the joy in this story and in our lives. Light, peace, joy, and hope. And really, hanging on to joy is maybe another way of saying having hope, isn't it? Maybe that's as close as we get to true joy sometimes. And I see strands of hope shining like gold in all the parts of this story, even though I don't think that exact word is in this translation or the story I read. But you can see it, can't you? You can see the hope of Mary treasuring up all these things in her heart, all the hopes and dreams she has for her baby boy. And maybe hopes around the message that the angel has given her about what he will do, what he will bring, who he is. Hope from the shepherds praising God, telling everyone about this baby who would bring great joy to the people, their hope that this was true, that this wonderful news is true. The hope that we have today as we wait through the Advent season and we ponder the Christmas story in a very different time and place to the shepherds. But still, we wonder, could this be true? And hope fills our hearts. And there's the promise of hope as well. I think the promise that grows from this night throughout Jesus' life and ministry. his teachings through to the community of believers who spring up from what Jesus did, and the faith that we are now all a part of today, along with thousands of people across the globe. That hope is at the centre of it. This king who came as the lowliest baby, who invites us to his table regardless of status or past or struggles. This king is bringing something new. And we see little glimpses of it in our lives, don't we? Little glimpses of this hope and this truth. And I think Christmas is maybe one of those times we especially see it. Maybe we pause for a minute and we let the hope wash over us. Hope for the message of Christmas, hope for the coming of the kingdom, hope for the year ahead in our lives. When we see generosity and community and beauty all together, that's a good time to sink into that hope, I think. Light, peace, joy, and hope. And because I'm not very good at maths, I think there's one more. I said four, but I think there's one more, isn't there? I haven't mentioned it yet. Is it on the tip of your tongue? The other theme that runs through and around all these, without which none of them are possible, love. In 1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. The coming of love to earth as a baby. How incredible. So today, as we gather and we celebrate this beautiful day and all the things we hope for, the light, the peace, the joy, we're going to take communion together and give thanks as we remember this love and we think about it. God came to us as his son, Jesus, a baby, helpless and lovely, as all babies are, human and divine, a great mystery of our faith, but one driven by love and the desire to be with us. The desire of a creator to be with his creation. And there's no separation between the creator and creation. He is ever present in the beauty of nature, in the majesty of the elements, storms and sunshine, in the loving hearts and the arms of the people around us. And in Jesus, he came truly, entirely to be with us as one of us, as human. Throughout his life, Jesus invited many people to his table. His friends, his enemies, anyone he came into contact with was welcome. And he invites us to his table now, still just as we are, to share simple elements, bread and wine, grape juice maybe, crackers maybe, as a reminder of his love for us, his sacrifice for us, and the promise made that we will be with him forever. And we do this, we take communion in remembrance of Jesus, of what he did, and we do it with hope, joy, peace, and light, especially today, on this day. In Luke 22, from verse 19, we read Jesus sharing the elements with his disciples for the first time. And he, well, not for the first time, but for the first time as something special and different that he tells them to do to remember him by. And taking the bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in my memory." He did the same with the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, written in my blood, poured out for you." And as Jesus did with his friends then, so we shall do with our friends now, as Christians have done for thousands of years, and many will do today on Christmas, to celebrate the deep love and the incredible sacrifice of our true King, Jesus. And if you're joining us at home on Zoom, I hope you can find some elements to take with us at home as well. Wonderful. Let's pray together. Creator God, we thank you for this beautiful earth and the beautiful people you have filled it with, our friends and our family, our community. As so many of us celebrate Christmas today, we pray that you fill the hearts of all of us, of everyone, with your love and your compassion. And we thank you for the ultimate gift, your love displayed in the coming of Jesus and in the sacrifice that he made for all of us, that we may be with you for an eternity, that we may have hope of something more. And we thank you for the promise of hope, of peace, of life eternal through Jesus, who came to be with us. So we pray now over this bread and this wine, these elements that we take together at your table, which we are always invited to. And as we gather here at this table and at tables today and throughout the year to celebrate with others, we pray that your love will flow through us and out into the whole world, joyful, inclusive, beautiful love. We thank you, Father, and we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The bread of life, the body of Christ with us, Emmanuel. And the cup of life, the love of God poured out for all people. It's a joy to be with you this morning. I hope you have a joyful, somewhat peaceful and delightful day as you do whatever you go on to do. And I will hand back over to our excellent worship team so that we can join in song one more time.